Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
We have been on a series, Apostolos. And we are going to continue with that series today. And we are focusing today on the apostolic mandate. Somebody tell your neighbor the apostolic mandate. My guys, if you're ready, move now. Say the apostolic mandate. So this is very important. The apostolic mandate of the church of Jesus Christ. We have worked on the what a mandate is, and we told us that a mandate is not a suggestion. A mandate is not an exhortation. A mandate is not an advice. A mandate is not even a mere instruction. A mandate is an authoritative what? Command. An authoritative command. Somebody say an authoritative command. So it's not optional to do it. You can choose to disobey it, but you have to know that you're in direct disobedience and in direct rebellion to that command. You have to understand that. So when we talk about a mandate, it's not that we are being encouraged to do something. No, it is that God has given us a command which we are to obey as those who truly follow him. You know, if I ask this church, how many of us love the Lord? Let me see your hands. If you love the Lord, wave your hands. Let me see. If you don't love the Lord, keep your hands down. If you love the Lord, wave your hands. You love God. Are you sure? Now, this is how you prove your love. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my what? Commandments. If you love me, so love is not just a feeling. Love is a call to commit and dedicate yourself sacrificially when it is convenient and when it's not convenient. When you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Come rain, come shine. No matter the circumstance you're in, unconditionally to commit yourself, dedicate yourself sacrificially in obeying the command of the Lord. That's what it means to love the Lord. So to love the Lord is not just singing Christian songs and crying. To love the Lord is not just to love what he does for us. To love the Lord is to keep his commands. And there are two major commands that Jesus gave to the new creation church. The first is the commandment. He said there is a new commandment, a new law for the new creation. And that is to love one another as Christ has loved us. The command to love. And he says that whoever loves has fulfilled every other law. Everything that is written in the law, once you walk in love towards others, you have fulfilled the law. A person who walks in love as Christ has loved us will not lie against his neighbor, will not covet what belongs to his neighbor, will not murder or kill his neighbor. So whatever you're seeing in commandments, whoever walks in love fulfills the law. The love of Christ is the fulfillment of every law. What did I say? And when you read the epistles, especially the epistles of the elder Apostle John, you will find how serious this is. That any man who claims that he knows God, who claims to be saved, but hates his brother, he said, has not yet known God, does not know God, because God is what? Love. That person is still in darkness, has not even yet been brought into the light. So it is impossible to be saved, to be a new creation in Christ. It is impossible, and harbor hatred in your heart. Why? Because hope makes not ashamed, for the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that he has given us. If you have the Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. You actually have the love of God, the same love that God is, the same love that moved him to give his son is the same love in your heart. And that love will let you hate successfully. The seed of God, if you have the nature of God, which is love, you cannot hold on to unforgiveness. No, you cannot. You cannot. You may try to. You may be tempted to. But it is Him, the Holy Spirit, that works in us both to will and to do for his good purposes. So that's Holy Spirit who lives in us, and the very nature of God in us will never permit you to successfully stay there. You're going to see yourself repenting. You're going to see yourself walking on the side of God. Somebody said, it is God's command for us to love one another. Not as men love, but as Christ loves us. If you are receiving that, shout a big amen. Amen. Wave your hands if you're here. So, anyone who claims to love God must obey that command of loving one another. He said, this new commandment I give to you. That's the new commandment. That's the new law for the new creation, the law of love. Now, the second is what we are going to be seeing, what we call the apostolic mandate of the Church of Christ. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, the apostolic mandate of the Church of Christ. I want you to write down the scriptures. We are going to get those mandates from those scriptures. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 20. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 to 49. John, chapter 20, verse 19 to 23. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I want you to listen carefully as we read the scriptures. And I'm going to tell you to circle some things or mark some things, because it's going to show itself in the course of the study that we are having this morning. Let us read Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18 to 20. Kai, all things are beautiful. Oh, he's beautiful all around us. Oh, he makes all things new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He makes all things beautiful in his season. And we are in that season right now. We are in that season right now. It's beautiful all around me. It's beautiful all around us. It's beautiful all around us. The beauty of the Lord is upon us. The glory of the Lord is upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, hey. Kale bo sataya. Yes, Lord.
all. Thank you, thank you. Oh, glory. These are good days. Hey, everything is working well. It's beautiful all around us. Everything aligns with the purpose of God, with the visions of God in our hearts. Ikaros atea. Hey, aborados shakata. Hear you the word of the Lord. August 2026 is the month of answered prayers. Is the month of answered prayers. Is the month of answered prayers. In the name of Jesus. August 2026, you are an answered prayer. August 2026, you are an answered prayers. To you who answers prayers, all flesh will come. To you who answers prayers, all flesh will come. Ayeko Shataya, and by mighty deeds in righteousness, you answered us. By mighty deeds, awesome as wondrous works in righteousness, you answered us. We give you praise. We give you glory. We honor you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Have your seat in God's presence. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18 to 20. Hold that neighbor by your side. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. This is the Great Commission. Not the Great Suggestion. Say, this is the Great Commission. Not the Great Advice. Not Great Exhortation. Say, this is an authoritative command to the Church of Jesus Christ. And if you belong to the Church of Jesus Christ, a child of God, born of God, a member of his household of faith, a member of his family, this is a command to you and to me. Read that scripture to him or her. I want to go. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How many of you remember what we said, that a mandate is an authoritative what? So it's a command given from the place of what? Authority. Remember that. Somebody say, all authority. In heaven, where? And what else? On earth. Verse 19. Let's continue reading. 1, 2, go. To that neighbor, go therefore and make disciples all the nations. How many? How many? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Continue reading to that neighbor. Want to go? Teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. Somebody say, teaching them to observe. How many things? Somebody, how many things? That I have. Not I have suggested to you. You have to know the difference between a command and an exhortation. I'm encouraging you to do this. I'm motivating you. No, it's not motivating us. It's a command. That's why it's called a Great Commission, because a commission is an authoritative command. A command given from authority and with authority. And then he says, and lo, I am with you always. Note that.
I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, you have to understand the blessing of I am with you unconditionally. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the blessing. But also understand the purpose of I am with you. I am with you so you go and do what I'm commanding you to do. So if you hold the blessing of I am with you with one hand, you must also hold the purpose of I am with you with the other hand. The blessing of I am with you is enjoyed maximally, fully, to its fullest, when you start fulfilling the purpose of I am with you. You want to see the anointing. You want to know the blessing of the Lord. That spiritual endowment and endowment, that spiritual enablement that empowers you to prosper by the ability of the Spirit of God, that empowers you to be fruitful. Understand the purpose of I am with you. There is a purpose. So I'm praying in my room or in my closet, and then the power of the Holy Spirit begins to rise big within me, and there is this current of the power of God, like electricity hitting me everywhere. My body is even vibrating under the weight of that glory, and that anointing rests upon me. And the Spirit of the Lord begin to infuse divine abilities, activate gifts within me. And I'm shaking, and I'm praying, and I'm brought into an encounter with God. Even getting drunk with the Holy Spirit, full of the Spirit. When I'm through with that encounter, that's the blessing. I come out, I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to one, come, because there is a compelling, commanding influence that is now on me. You see, when the heavens opened, and the voice of the excellent glory sounded, this is my beloved son. You have to hear. The Bible says, in whom I am well pleased. The second time he said, hear him. That anointing makes creation hear you. You speak to men and men here. They just don't know why they are brought into what you're saying. Why they are brought into believing, opening their hearts. Why? There is something different about what the Bible said. When men heard Jesus, they asked, what wisdom is this? We have never heard a man speak with such authority. And it's not just rhetorics. He said, what wisdom is this that mighty works? So it's not just words, but words that produce mighty works. Results. The results that come from those words. Suddenly people favor me. Everybody is out to bless me. Then I can look at the devil. I said, in the name of Jesus, and demons tremble. The question is, what's all that for? What's all that for? Is it so I can become popular and famous? Oh, anointed child of God. Is it so I can now be able to control people, manipulate people, and use them for my selfish, to build my selfish vision, my selfish empire? Is it for that? Is it so I can accumulate more money, more wealth, and rise to power so everybody will know? Is it that? The question is, all those investments of God's grace and anointing on my life, what is it for? That presence of God that is with me. And you know, there is the glory and there is the shining glory. The Bible talks about our faces being radiant. Not ashamed, but being radiant. That's the shining glory. In Isaiah 60, he says, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Not just in you. Yes, it's, but now it's on you. Upon you. And then is seen upon you. So the glory, not just a dormant glory. Not just a hidden glory. But now a shining, a radiant glory. Where men look at you and they are drawn to you. They just can't say no to you. Even strangers you do not know serve you. What was that anointing for? So I can make more money. The purpose of I am with you. So what's the purpose? Go therefore and make what? Of all the what? Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. Go therefore and make what? Of all, not just my street, not just my neighborhood, not just my school, not just my workplace, not just my industry, not just my city, all the nations. You have to understand that. Somebody shout, all the nations. I'm not hearing you. Shout, all the nations. Somebody came to me, and it's not just one person. I've encountered that many times for years. And people will ask the same question. Pastor, how do you walk in the power of God? I want to walk in the power of God. Pastor, you're so anointed. How do you walk in the anointing? How do you operate in the anointing? I really want to see the sick healed. I want to see myself speak. And Pastor, I've not experienced this. And I smile. And I always tell them the same thing. I say, number one, because of ignorance, you do not know. You do not know that Jesus already paid all the price and brought you into the blessing. And one of the packages of the blessing is the power of God. And it's yours unconditionally. You don't have any price to pay for the power of God. It has been paid. That's it. The power of God is a gift of grace to us. I know you hear messages about paying a price for power. I know you hear that a lot of times. There is a price you pay for power. No, there is no price you pay for power. There are positions of faith, because what God gives by grace, you receive by faith. And faith is not just you shout, I believe. Faith has corresponding actions. What you believe, you behave. There are positions of faith you must take to walk in power. But that position of faith is to receive, not because you are paying the price for it. The person who paid the price for it is Jesus Christ. And he's given to us freely, freely. It's our inheritance, it's ours in Christ. And wherever there is ignorance, you're going to find two twins. These twins, they are twins that are products of ignorance. You're going to find doubt, unbelief. When men don't know, they doubt. Then you're going to find fear. So when somebody wants to walk in power and demonstrate the power of God, whether in his own personal life, or whether to minister to others, and the person does not know, he has not yet received the knowledge of God concerning the power of God. He has not yet understood the revelations in the word of God concerning power. He will be doubting. What if I pray now and nothing happens? What if I pray now and nothing happens? And the power of God, the flow of the power of God is hindered once there is doubt. And then once there is fear. That's why every time Jesus will want to minister to people, he will hear him say to them, fear not.
Because if you can take fear out, power is going to flow. Tell your neighbor, if you take fear out, power is going to flow. Fear entertained is faith what? Contaminated. Once you entertain fear, you contaminate faith. You begin to doubt, and those who doubt hinder the power of God. And the Bible said, and Jesus could do no mighty works. Could do no mighty works in Nazareth. For one reason, because of their unbelief. They doubted. So he was willing to do, but he could not. Could is a question of ability, not willingness. He was willing, but he could not because they were not believing. Except that he just laid hands on a few people that were sick with minor ailments, healed them. I want you to look at, okay, it's on the screen. Hold your neighbor because let's talk about that a little. Hold your neighbor, read that on the screen. One, two, go. Verse 6, one to go. I'm not hearing you. Again. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Why did he? He stopped ministering miracles and he started what? Teaching. Because faith comes by what? And hearing by what? Faith begins where the knowledge of God comes. When the knowledge of his will, when you know the will of God. So to destroy that unbelief, he focused on teaching the word. So I told him, I said, ignorance, that's number one. Anytime you're not walking in power, the first is ignorance. You don't even know. And what ignorance produces is unbelief, fear and unbelief. Then I said, number two, is you're ignorant of God's purpose, therefore you're not walking in the purpose for power. You don't know the purpose of power. And where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. God will not. That's how the system of God's kingdom is designed. The kingdom has a system that doesn't allow a man walk in power who does not understand the purpose. Because he's going to use that power to destroy himself and destroy others. Once a man walks in power without using it to fulfill purpose, that power will destroy him and destroy others. So the system of God's kingdom is designed in a manner that only those who walk in purpose, only those who walk in purpose enjoy the fullness of that power. There is a purpose for every investment of God's grace. God doesn't just invest in us so we can just enjoy our selfish lives, to lavish it on our lost. Wave your hands and say, I'm here. Come on, say, I'm here. Are you sure? Get back to Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. But this time around, give me the NIV. I want to watch something. Hold that neighbor, call him by his or her name again. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. And read that scripture to that neighbor. One, two. The NIV, one, two, go. Teaching them to what? So tell your neighbor, in matters of command, is about obedience. So the question is, how many of us are Christians are living in obedience to that which Jesus commanded us? I've said it, and I'm going to continue saying, I don't know who taught you Christ. I don't know who taught you the word of God. I don't know the kind of church
that your parents were attending and you were raised in? I don't know. I don't know the brand of Christianity you have accepted and who modeled it for you. I don't know whether your brand of Christianity is based on what you assume or based on the trends or what everybody you know, we they go church. So if all of us are going to church and we say we are Christians, maybe because of our parents and how we were raised and the region, because if you were born in another region, the probability is high you may not be a Christian. I don't know what it is, why you call yourself a Christian, and what your concept of Christianity is. Any Christian who does not live his life to preach the gospel and to nurture and disciple men, you know what it means? When they now come to Christ, you bring them into God's house, God's church, and take care to make sure that they get to know the word of God. They know how to pray. They know how to hear God for themselves. You introduce them to the Holy Spirit as you have been introduced. What was done for you, what you have received, you have to give. The way you were prayed for, you have to pray for them. The way somebody else looked into your eyes, the way somebody else taught you Jesus, you have to teach them. You have to give as such as you have and disciple them so that they themselves can also observe and obey the commands of Jesus. If you're not doing that, if you're not investing your time, your talents, your treasures, your money into making sure that the word of God spreads, that the gospel goes beyond the people you can even reach physically, that the people will give their life to Christ and people will be discipled. If that's not happening, you're living in disobedience to Jesus. I didn't say God will hate you. I didn't say God will send you to hell. But I want you to know you're living in direct rebellion to the commands. Evangelism, witnessing, sharing the gospel, telling others your testimony of how you've experienced Jesus. Somebody said, Pastor, I don't know how to preach. I said, no. Do you know how to talk? He said, yes. I said, you know how to preach. I said, what? You don't have to. You know, preaching is not argument. Preaching is witnessing. Somebody say witnessing. Come on, shout witnessing. What is witnessing? I saw something. I tasted something. I experienced something, and I'm a living proof that that thing is true. I share my testimony of how I experienced it. If you have received salvation, tell others how you received it. If you were a mess and Jesus turned your life around, go and share what? Your testimony. Only those who have experienced the saving grace of Jesus can tell others of the saving grace of Jesus. Angels can't preach the gospel. Why? Angels have never been saved. The blood of Jesus was not shed for them. They've never experienced. That's why Jesus said, and you will be witnesses. When you pray and God talks to you and you heard God, tell others how you pray and how God talks. Tell them you serve the living God. You see, preaching the gospel is not going around looking for who to argue the Bible with. Actually, when we train you for soul winning, we say the moment you meet someone and the person begins to throw out questions for argument, stop that message immediately. There is something that Jesus does, and he even taught his disciples to do it. Where you go to a place and your gospel is not received, he said, dust the sand on your downstairs. Let your peace return to you and leave and go to the next person. That preaching the gospel is not arguing whether God exists or not. That's not it. You can never win a soul by winning an argument. In
In fact, the more you argue, the more the person's heart is hardened. Because why? The gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. But it pleased God that through the foolishness of the gospel, of preaching the gospel, men will be what? Saved. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ can never make sense. What did I say? I'm not hearing you. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ can never what? Can never what? The only way people can believe it is when they experience it. That's why successful soul winning begins not with preaching. No. You cannot successfully talk to men about God until you have prevailed in talking to God about men. Men that successfully preach the gospel and the lives of people are changed are men who are effective intercessors. It starts with praying. What does that prayer do? I will show you. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available in the Amplified. Dynamic in what? In his working. What happens when we pray is that tremendous power is released. And that power of God begins to walk through the bias, through the walls and strongholds that the enemy has built up in the hearts of these people. He breaks through the lies. It's like a hammer that breaks the heart into pieces. The Holy Spirit will begin to walk until the land of their hearts, the soil of their hearts, before the seed of the word will be sown. Without serious prayer, you can't win your people. You can't. The hearts of men, that's what the Bible calls ready harvest. The hearts of men must be tilled. The Holy Spirit will begin to convict them of sin. Convict them of righteousness. Convict them of their need for Jesus. So when the word of God comes, the Holy Spirit must have done the work. So to just go around and just be arguing with people. When I'm trying to preach to people, listen, I don't preach to people who doubt me. When I don't waste my time, I go back to prayers. I go to talk to God. When I'm talking to somebody, I'm looking in the heart. I'm looking in their eyes to know whether the heart has been made ready. The heart has to be made ready. You've got to pray for the lost in your family. Pray for your parents that are not yet received Jesus. Pray for your siblings. You get into intercession. You pray. The Bible said, if the gospel is hid, if it is veiled, if it is covered, it is hid to those whose eyes are blinded by the God of this age. They are perishing because their eyes are blinded. So it's a spiritual warfare. It's not a talking thing. You don't convince a man into salvation. Is a power clash in the spirit. And then when you begin to preach the gospel, you must understand Romans chapter 1, verse 16, New King James. Because of time, we will not go into the other scriptures, but I want you to note that. Read the scriptures yourself. You're going to see all the commands and how Jesus has given us authority as a church. I want you to hold your neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Never you be ashamed of the gospel. Say, get yourself into intercessions. Say, become effective in praying for the lost. In your family, your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, your associates, your mates. Say, get used to praying for the city, the lost all over the nations. Do you know that God can use your intercession here to appear and reveal himself to a Muslim in India? I'm telling you. That's one of the things I experience in intercession. I pray, I get to a point and I'm praying in the spirit, praying for souls around the world, and I'm beginning to mention names. I don't even know the culture. I don't even know. Sometimes I'll not check those names and find that they exist. And a man who has not been to church, but maybe somewhere, somehow, God finds a way for him to get to know Jesus. Just hear it through media or whatever. The guy is now cornered to a particular place. He's going through a tough thing. He tries his God, and the God knows the answer. Like, bah. Then he now said, I don't know. Lord, God, whoever you are, help me, show me. And in the night, in a dream, Jesus appears. Many of them will tell you in open visions, Jesus appears. I am Jesus. But if you go and check online, you're going to hear testimonies of that. Especially in the Muslim world, the Buddhist world, people that are in different religions that have never known Jesus. And there is no way they would have gone to church. How does that happen? Because there are people who are not just focused on their personal lives. They have given their time, their hearts, and their passions for praying for world evangelism. They are not just, because the command to the church is not disciple your city. It's this: every true church of our Lord Jesus Christ must disciple the nations. It's a worldwide command. So hold your neighbor and read that scripture and read it out loud. 1, 2, go. Now lift your hands and make that pledge. Declare, I, David Ifechukwu, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'll preach it with authority. I'll preach it with boldness. I'll preach it with love. I'll preach it with conviction. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. So when you preach the gospel, don't try to rack your brain on how people will be saved. No. Preach it. God will confirm the word. The gospel is not argument. The gospel is not moral lessons. The gospel is not giving advice. The gospel is preaching the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Shout it. The gospel is preaching the saving grace of Jesus Christ. As it applies to eternal life and to every other aspect of life. And it is the power of God. Don't reduce the gospel to mere argument. Close your eyes. Today I want you to receive fresh grace. The Bible said, but you grow in grace and in the knowledge. There is increase in grace. Today, receive abundance of grace. That empowerment of the Spirit to be an effective soul winner. A living proof, a living witness to the living Christ. Open your mouth and pray. Please don't be distracted. It may be just for a minute, It may be just for a minute. Lord, I receive a fresh endowment, fresh grace. to stay focused. Lord, to live my life purposefully, obeying the commands of Jesus. Lord, to fulfill the ministry I have received in Christ Jesus, preaching the gospel, winning souls, making disciples of the nations. Father, I give my life, I give my heart, I give the talents you have given me, I give my finances, my treasures for world missions, for the discipleship of nations. Lord, we give this church every platform, every ability, every gift and grace you have bestowed on us. Lord, every personnel, every laborer for the discipleship of the nations. In the name of Jesus, we receive abundance of grace. We receive fresh grace. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church say a big amen. Amen. Lift your two hands towards the heavens. And may the Lord himself breathe on you afresh. May the Spirit of the Lord empower you, embolden your heart, and give you grace abundantly to be an effective and exceedingly fruitful soul winner, a disciple that makes other disciples, a man who takes cities and overturns nations. Receive it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Now declare, I am exceedingly fruitful. And my fruit remains. Give the Lord a mighty praise this morning. Come on, bless the Lord, bless the Lord.